With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Picture this. You're scrolling through job listings with your morning coffee, looking for that perfect work-from-home opportunity. You see remote position available, and your heart skips a beat. Finally! But 6 months later, you're sitting in your home office feeling completely invisible while your coworkers chat about decisions made during lunch meetings you weren't invited to. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. Not all remote jobs are created equal. Welcome to Flexify 2, your Job Search Evolve podcast. Today, I'm going to save you from a potentially miserable work experience by explaining the critical difference between remote friendly and remote first companies. Trust me, this knowledge can make or break your work from home experience. Let's start with remote friendly companies, because this is where most seekers get trapped without realizing it. A remote friendly company is essentially an office-based company that allows some remote work. Think of it like this. The office is still the main character in their story, and remote workers are supporting actors, sometimes forgotten entirely. These companies usually opened up to remote work for practical reasons. Maybe the pandemic forced their hand, or they needed to attract talent from other cities, but deep down, their DNA is still office-centric. Here's what this looks like in practice. Leadership shows up to the office every day. The CEO's corner office is where all the real decisions happen. Important conversations start in the break room and finish in someone's cubicle. Project assignments get discussed during impromptu hallway meetings. And where does that leave you, the remote worker? On the outside looking in. I talked to Sheila last month. She's a marketing manager at a remote-friendly luxury goods company. She told me about missing out on a promotion because the decision was made during a casual Friday afternoon conversation between her boss and a colleague who happened to be grabbing coffee together. Sheila was at home doing excellent work, but she wasn't there for the moment that mattered. This is the remote-friendly trap. You get the flexibility of working from home, but you pay for it with career invisibility. Now, let's talk about remote-first companies and why they're completely different animals. Remote-first companies are built from the ground up for distributed teams. The office isn't the center of gravity. There might not even be an office. Everyone, including the CEO, works from wherever they choose, and every single process is designed for a distributed workforce. Here's what this looks like. All communication happens in writing or through video calls that everyone can access equally. Decisions are documented in shared spaces like Notion or Confluence. Meeting recordings are standard practice. Information flows through office channels, not water cooler gossip. I have a friend that is a product manager who works for a remote first startup. When I asked him about feeling left out, he laughed. Left out of what? He said, "Our CEO lives in Portland. Our CTO is in Austin, and I'm in Maryland. Nobody has a water cooler conversation because there's no water cooler." At the company he works for, project updates happen in Slack channels everyone can see. Strategy discussions are documented in shared documents. Team building happens through virtual coffee chats and quarterly in-person retreats where everyone travels to meet up. The key difference is intentionality. Remote-first companies don't just allow remote work, they're optimized for it. They've solved the communication problems, the inclusion problems, and the career advancement problems that plague remote-friendly companies. Think of it this way. Remote-friendly companies retrofitted remote work onto an office-based structure. Remote-first companies designed their entire operation around distributed teams from day one. Okay, so how do you tell the difference when you're job hunting? The language in the job postings can be tricky, but there are definite clues. First, look at the language they use. Phrases like remote option, work from home possible, or flexible work arrangements usually signal remote friendly. They're offering remote work as a perk or an accommodation. Remote first companies use different language: fully distributed team, remote first culture, or location independent. Then I want you to check their career page and website. Remote friendly companies often showcase their beautiful office spaces, talk about the company culture happening in person, and maybe have a small section about remote work flexibility. Remote first companies talk about async communication, digital collaboration tools, and how they maintain culture across time zones. They might mention co-working stipends instead of office amenities. Then look at their leadership team bios. In remote-friendly companies, executives are usually based in the same city as the headquarters. In remote-first companies, leadership is often distributed across different locations. Here's a pro tip. Check their job listings for location requirements. Remote-friendly companies often say things like, "Remote workers welcome, but prefer candidates within commuting distance of X office." Remote-first companies either hire globally or have specific time zone requirements that have nothing to do with a physical office. During interviews, ask strategic questions. Things like, how does your team handle project planning? Where is most of your leadership team based? Can you walk me through how a typical team meeting works? If they describe a process where some people dial in while others are in a conference room, that's remote friendly. If everyone joins video calls from their individual locations, that's remote first. Also, ask about career advancement. How do remote employees typically get promoted here? If they hesitate or talk about eventually needing to relocate, you have your answer. This isn't just about comfort or convenience. It's about your career trajectory and mental health. Working remotely at a remote-friendly company often means fighting for visibility every single day. You'll work harder to prove your value because you're not physically present. You'll miss informal networking opportunities. You might find yourself overcompensating by being available at all hours just to prove you're really working. I've seen remote workers at these companies burn out trying to be more available and productive than their office-based colleagues just to stay relevant. At remote-first companies, your work speaks for itself because the playing field is level. Everyone communicates through the same channels. Everyone has equal access to information and opportunities. Your promotion depends on your results, not your office FaceTime. Plus, remote-first companies have usually figured out the practical stuff that makes remote work sustainable: clear communication protocols, proper project management systems, and ways to maintain team relationships without requiring physical presence. The mental health difference is huge too. At remote-friendly companies, you might constantly wonder what you're missing or feel like you need to justify your remote status. At remote-first companies, working from home is just normal. So what do you do with this information? First, adjust your job search filters. Don't just search for remote jobs. Specifically look for remote first companies or add terms like distributed team and async culture to your searches. Then research companies before you apply. Check their blog posts, social media, and employee reviews on sites like Glassdoor. Look for mentions of remote culture, not just remote options. Then prepare smart interview questions that help you identify the company's true remote culture. Don't just ask if you can work remotely. Ask how they make remote work successful. And finally, trust your gut during the interview process. If you're the only person dialing in, or if they seem surprised by questions about remote culture, that tells you everything you need to know. Remote work can be incredible, flexible, productive, and life-changing, but only if you choose the right type of remote company for your situation. Don't settle for being a second-class citizen in a remote-friendly company when remote-first opportunities are out there waiting for you. You deserve a job that's designed for how you want to work, not one that tolerates it as an inconvenience. I want you to know your dream remote job exists. You just need to know how to find it. Tune in later this week for the next episode on how to self-advocate without burning out. Until then, I wish you peace, love, and paychecks.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.